Hello, everyone. I'm Dominique Johnson Lindsay, and welcome to the Active Listener Podcast by Lightspeed. For the past 3 decades, Lightspeed has journeyed with educators and tech experts across school districts. With our Active Listener Podcast, we are bringing the stories and experiences of our customers, education experts, and our own team members on how listening is foundational to education. Tune in as we amplify these vital voices and understand more about the people shaping the future of education. We hope every podcast listen will be a learning opportunity with Active Listener. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I want to thank Andy for joining us today. So before we get started, Andy, can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah. So my name is Andy Hiltborg, and I'm a product manager here at Lightspeed. So part of my background, I have an electrical engineering degree, and I spent 9 years as a hardware design engineer, and I've spent 13 years of my career as a product manager. And at this point, I've been with Lightspeed for about a year and a half.
Perfect. I want to start off talking a little bit about just being here at Lightspeed before we jump into all the stuff that you do. So my first question is, as a newer employee at Lightspeed, how would you describe the culture of Lightspeed?
All right. Well, before I get into the culture, I wanted to talk about the core values a little bit. The core values that we have here at Lightspeed are integrity, respect, innovation, stewardship, and humility. And when you look at those core values, one of the things that I realize is four of those really deal with how we interact with people, how we do our job. And I find that working at Lightspeed, that the people here really do embody those core values for the most part. And you know, it is important to us, given that four of the five are about how we interact with people. And so when I describe the culture, think about the culture here, I really liken it to a family. Maybe more close-knit team, but there are a lot of family aspects to it, and the executive team really does work to put together opportunities for us to all work together, be together, speak together, and try to get those personal connections with everybody. And since I've been here, you know, it's a great group of people that I work with.
We know Lightspeed is a mission-driven company, and the work that we do is impactful to students and teachers. How would you describe the work we do as reflecting what's important to you and our values?
For me, I believe education is a great equalizer. It opens up a lot of opportunities for people that you wouldn't normally have. And over my life, I've been blessed to be able to go to good schools and have some really great teachers that have influenced my life. And so education is important to me. And, you know, I think I've spent 22 years in the school system, actually getting formal schooling. So a big portion of my life was involved in school. So working for Lightspeed, where the mission is really creating that connection and communication, enhancing that connection and communication between teachers and students, and really promoting education and trying to help people in the school system, was actually a big selling point for me to come and work here. That really spoke to me. I've had a lot of jobs over the years, and a lot of times people don't even know what I do, even after they ask me and I tell them, as an engineer, this is the products I work on. They just kind of nod their head and like, they couldn't repeat it to anybody else because they don't really understand the product or what I'm doing. But for Lightspeed, it's actually refreshing when somebody asks, what do you do at Lightspeed? And I tell them and talk about the product, and you can kind of see their eyes open up. I was just volunteering with my daughter this past weekend on a solve project, some outdoor work. And a guy was talking to me, asked me where I worked. When I mentioned Lightspeed, he mentioned he was a substitute teacher in the Portland school systems. And he was like, I think I've used that product. So, you know, it's really nice to be able to have those connections or be able to talk about it and people actually know what I'm doing and recognize it and understand that, yeah, this is some important work we're doing here.
I love that. So you kind of touched on something earlier that I kind of want to bring back, and that was about the core values. So I'm going to ask you a little bit of a switch up question. And that's like, to give me an example of a time where you kind of like experienced our core values at work. What made that moment align for you as far as, wow, we really do what we say we do?
So working on the project that I'm on, we are in a new space where most of our hardware that we've delivered has been it's been hardware. There's not a whole lot of software in it. And our new Cascadia product is adding networking to it. And this is a new area for us. We're growing into it. And, you know, one of our service people is kind of rose to the challenge during this program and was really interested in the networking side of things. And he's kind of become our in-house expert for us. And it's been really great working with him and other people in the area, because when we've gone on some trips to go out and visit customers or do our pilot sites, and it's actually really great working with people who are very dedicated and take things as seriously as me. Like, the preparation they did for the trips to make sure everything would go well was far and above what I normally do. And that actually is a new experience to me. I feel like usually I'm the one who's really detail oriented and really trying to line everything up and make sure everything goes well. And, you know, something comes up and you're like, oh yeah, I prepared for that. Here's something. No, these guys, they had me beat hands down. And so being able to travel with people and go places with people that have that kind of mentality and are just willing to help out and work, this what they've done on this project and helping us is not really in their job description, but they've been really happy to help. And actually around the company, whenever anything has really come up, working with our IT department and asking them for things, just everybody is so willing to just jump in and help how they can. We're a small company and we really do need that mentality of people and so there's just been so many times that things like this have come up that it's getting to be somewhat normal now, but and you kind of expect it. But honestly, in other jobs that I've worked in, it's really not been that way. But, you know, even being here a year and a half now, it's kind of normalized that, hey, people are very helpful around here.
That is one of the first things that comes to mind when I'm talking to, I do a lot of interviewing or hiring new people. And when an applicant asks me about, you know, what it's like to work at Lightspeed, I'm like, help culture is the first thing that comes to my mind. People are willing to help at all levels and also willing to ask for help at all levels. And that's, I think, really unique, Lightspeed.
For sure.
One of my favorite questions to ask people that I work with is, what makes you excited to come to work each day? So Andy would love to hear what excites you about your work.
So as a product manager, we typically wear a lot of different hats, and there's a lot of different types of product managers. I've actually been fairly blessed coming here because my focus has been on new product development. And that's one of the things that I really love doing and a part of the job. And I don't always get to do it, and it kind of comes and goes depending what we're working on. But in the year and a half that I've been at Lightspeed, I've been working on a project, our Cascadia product, and working to bring that to market. And so almost my entire focus has been on new product development. And so that's been really great for me, because that's the kind of work that I really enjoy, working with the development teams, working with the engineers, talking with the customers, and bringing that new product to market. Just all the aspects there is really exciting for me. And you know, now that we've launched my project, you know, I'll probably go back to be doing some other work until the next project comes along and we kick that off. You know, I guess you can't do the fun stuff all the time, 100% of the time. Sometimes you have to actually do work.
You were definitely doing work in that design of that project. It sounds like it's exciting.
So I actually want to ask about that. You were super pivotal in getting Cascadia out the door, which is our network instructional audio solution. So tell me, what was your favorite part, if you had to pick just one, of the product development process?
So the first thing that comes to mind, the most fun I had on this, was when we were working on the industrial design of the product. So, you know, in the beginning, we kind of decide what we want to do, what the requirements are for the product. And then we work with the engineer and the development team, bringing them up to speed. And then at some point, you have to work on the look and the feel of it. And that part is very creative and very open-ended, and I find it just fascinating and fun. And the way it works is, since we've laid out all the requirements for everybody, the designers will go off and they'll start brainstorming, and they delivered us, I want to say, 8 to 10 different ideas of how this product could look. So we were redoing the microphone that we have that hangs around the neck. And so they gave us, here's 8 different models that you could have for the microphone. And then as a product manager and with the product management team sitting down, and we're discussing, well, I like this aspect of this one, or there's some stuff here that I don't really like. And to really promote a lot of the conversation, the designers will throw in some really off the wall ideas, just really out there, just to see what kind of reaction they can get. Sometimes you have good reactions and it's a nice aha moment. Other times it's bad reactions, but they're really looking to drive that conversation. So they put some reasonable stuff together and then some unreasonable stuff. And then you start picking and choosing. And there's a lot of back and forth with them that, you know, after you've given them the feedback, then they came back to us with, I want to say, maybe like three different design ideas that they've kind of boiled down the feedback. And then you start the process again. And then you finally get to that last one and said, okay, this is what we're doing. And, you know, I think as a team, we kind of stepped back at that point, looked at it and went, wow, that really worked out well. Like that, you know, it was just very impressive how it went. And so if you go and you look back and you look at where we started and where we ended up, it's kind of surprising that we got to where we ended up. But the whole process was just fun, because you just didn't know what they were going to come back to you with. And there's a lot of discussion of what can we do, a lot of what ifs conversations. And then what we ended up with was, I feel, something really amazing.
I agree. And I will say, I love our new mic. I think it is beautiful. Coming to Lightspeed and seeing now kind of like this third iteration of a microphone, even though, of course, Clear Mic is brand new. I say I love it so much. It is my favorite one by far. So kudos to y'all for that.
It's very cool to get to be, you know, you aren't necessarily a designer, but to get to be so hands-on with the design process and like really inform each iteration. I think that's very cool.
Yeah. And for the Clear Mic, we added a display to our microphone, which is something we haven't done before. And just in our industry, it hasn't really been done. But in our conversations and in the beginning, we were trying to think of how we're going to add all these new functions and all these new features and have a couple of colored LEDs that we would flash to for different things. And, you know, we got to the point thinking, how's the teacher's going to know what's going on? You know, two blinks for this, or, you know, red, green, light, it gets to be too much. And somebody had mentioned during that process, well, can we add a display? And, you know, our initial reaction was, are you crazy? Adding a display, the cost that it's going to add to the product, the complexity, like, it's going to grow. Like, I don't think we can do this. And the designers were like, just let us work on it and give you some proposals. And they came back and researched what was in the market and then came up with some the designs included a bunch of different kinds of displays, a way of doing things. And, you know, it really opened our eyes and took us in a different direction. And now it's a real key feature that, mm-hmm. that we have on there, that it really differentiates us from our competitors, and I think adds some real value. So, you know, there's just a lot of aspects of it that you know, especially when you're in the beginning and there's just so much possibility in front of you, and getting to work on that part and see it evolve is you know, very fulfilling.
That's fantastic. And it's still simple. It's still simple enough that it's easy to use, even though it's got all of those additional features.
Yeah.
Very cool. So our listeners may or may not know that Lightspeed is 100% employee-owned company. And I'd love to hear from you, you know, what that's like for you. Does that impact your day-to-day? How do you feel about working for a 100% employee-owned company?
I know we're employee-owned, 100% employee-owned, and I believe it actually drives some of the environment that we have around mm-hmm. here. But on a personal level, when I've talked to others who have been here a long time and are invested, and they see, you know, they have concrete monetary, you know, evidence that they are part owner of the company, you know, I don't have that. But one of the things, I guess, what one of the environment that it promotes being employee owned is the transparency that we have here. I really do enjoy the transparency. You know, I've mostly worked for companies that are publicly traded and maybe a little bit larger. And you can always find the information in your quarterly filings or the annual report and look through it. And they'll have some meetings to talk about it. But here at Lightspeed, you know, we have our weekly huddle where every week we get together and we learn about what's going on in the company. The executives are sharing information with us, how are sales going, what are potentially what the financials are looking like, you know, are there issues in front of the company and how they're handling it, or what they're thinking about it, and just really involving us. And so, you know, before working for a publicly traded company, you'd have the CFO would go and they would have their quarterly reports or their earning reports, and they would call and talk to the market about what's going on. And then, yeah, we as employees could listen in. And But here we have our CFO talking directly to us. We are the shareholders. He is explaining what's going on to us. We're not just passengers in the background in the audience listening, right? He's actually talking to us. And so just the openness that we have here is an example of, you know, the ESOP affecting us, the employee owned company driving the culture here. I think it also gives us a little bit more leeway to focus on the longer term mm-hmm. benefits, whereas in a publicly traded company, you're really working on, you know, what's best for the quarter, what's best short term. It's really hard to go long term because you know, if you make a miss, the market really, really punishes you. So, but here in at Lightspeed, I think I get the feeling, and just from what our executive team has shared with us, that they actually are thinking long term mm-hmm. and the short term, but they have a lot more freedom because they're really answering to us and yeah. and, you know, ultimately trying to do what's best for the customer, but you know, really taking us into account as the team.
Absolutely. Yeah, very good point.
I agree. And I think for me, I think the part that's always feeling good is the reassurance. So, of course, I've been places where I've been like laid off before, and not that that can't happen here at Lightspeed. But I think understanding the company and where we are, that allows me to have a clear vision so I can make decisions for myself. And so that part feels good to me even before I actually was a part of the ESOP. And like, you know, I've been here for years now and got to partake. But even before that, I'm like, okay, well, I know we have this much cash on hand. Like, that's so insane to know for a company, because I work in places where I'm like, I'm not even sure who to request a new parking decal from. So it just feels good to kind of be in the company of good information. So yeah. Well, those are all of our like serious questions. So now we get to literally my favorite part of the podcast. I say this on everyone, so everybody knows, I'm sure, by this time. And that's the fun questions. I'm going to let Melanie ask the first one, and then I'll eat.
I would love to hear, Andy, what is your favorite sound in the whole world?
So my favorite sound in the whole world, I think I would have to go with joyous laughter. Now I'm not talking about the laughter of, you know, you're sitting in with a comedian and everybody's laughing at the jokes, but I'm talking about those times where you're getting together with family and friends and you're just connecting and talking and the conversation's going wherever it goes, and you know, stuff comes up and maybe it's an inside story or it's, and you know, you have that everybody starts laughing and enjoying themselves, and you know, it's just that real joyous laughter. You know, maybe you're remembering some funny stuff that happened in the past, or it just, but that real truly genuine, like you just love being with that friends and family kind of thing. So one example I have of that is when my son was almost 2 years old, we were visiting my family, my parents, and my sister. I think it was a Christmas vacation that we were visiting, and as one of the presents or something that we had, for some reason there was a kazoo, and we took this kazoo, and you know, we're just talking, playing around, and the adults, we were all trying to use the kazoo and make it work. And I want to say it had been a long time, if ever, that any of us had ever really used a kazoo. So we're all blowing into it and nothing's happening. And then my dad handed it to my son, who, like I said, is two. And he just put it up to his mouth and it made that kazoo sound. Like he got it to work. And we were all just sitting there shocked. And you're like, wait a second, how did he do that? And, you know, so now we're all laughing, and you're just kind of in that moment. And you know, it's nothing really important, but you kind of get that warmth of friends and family around, and something happens, and you got that shared laughter that's just really true, right? Like, and so that's kind of the sound that I like, when you know that the people around you and you're just included in that. You know, you really do have that kind of sense of serenity and fun in that moment, and that really true laughter.
Okay, so the last question today is, if you could remove one barrier for children at school, what would it be?
So this one is, I guess, a little bit more personal to me, because my I have a daughter who's going through school, and the thing that I would do if I could kind of wave a magic wand and change something is, I'd love to see smaller class sizes and more personalized attention from the teachers with the students. And so I remember right before the pandemic, I went into a parent-teacher conference with my daughter's fifth grade teacher, and we had a good conversation, and he was probably more open with me than I was expecting. And he was talking about how it's really difficult in the classes, because you'll have kids that are at it. He had five or six kids that were at the top end, working above grade level. And I think this is a class of maybe 35 kids that he's trying to teach. And he's got like I said, 4 or 5 kids at above grade level. He's got, you know, 4 or 5 kids that are way below grade level, and then the rest are kind of at grade level, somewhere in between. And he was, I think, feeling a little guilty and saying that, you know, he spent a lot of his time with those kids that were below grade level. And my daughter was identified as a tag student, that a talented and gifted here in Oregon. And she's one of those top students. And he knows that even if he doesn't do anything and doesn't spend any time and with her, she's still going to do well. So, but he feels guilty about that because he wants to give all the kids as much time as he could. And, you know, he just couldn't do that given how many students he had and how many of them required the attention. And yeah, you know, I can't fault him for that. I think those kids that are struggling, they need as much help as they can get. And but at the same time, as a parent, I wish my daughter could get some personalized attention that would be able to challenge her and push her. Because soon after that, the pandemic started, and then all the teachers are in survival mode. They weren't even really trying to push their students. And, you know, since they've come back, everybody's been playing catch up. And, you know, it's getting better now that she's in high school and they have a lot more offerings and different levels. But still, the class sizes are really large, and it's hard for the teachers to give that personalized attention. And, you know, going back to one of my earlier statements that, you know, I've been blessed to have some good teachers, and there's nothing quite that affects your life like a really good teacher. And a lot of these teachers have a lot of heart, and they want to help their students, but they just have so many to help that I just wish that situation was different.
Yeah. I'm sure many teachers would agree with you. My mom teaches, and I know she deals with the same thing with the younger kids. And of course, they always need more hands-on because, you know, they're at the grade where they're learning how to read and all that stuff. So that is such a big deal. And I do think that's something that would be wonderful to remove as far as the barrier. Kids would love it. Mm-hmm. They love attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe as part of the other conversations that you've had on here, talking to some of the tech directors and the technology that's out there, hopefully there's something maybe in AI that a teacher can use and put together, you know, stuff a little bit quicker and a little bit more personalized. So there's a lot of opportunity ahead of us. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where things go.
I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This was so good. I always love talking to really anybody, but of course people inside our company when I can learn more about what it is that they do. So this was so good. And I want to just thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's all for today's Active Listener. Thanks for tuning in. Share your comments on this episode on our Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn social media pages. You can visit our website at lightspeed-tech.com to learn more about our mission to ensure every student hears every word. And subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Until next time, let your listening be as active as your learning.